Welcome to The Key, where we discuss ways to unlock efficiencies for your teams on the road. My name is Lee Adam, and I'm a mobility consultant and a vehicle program expert here at CarData. At The Key, we dive into strategy behind company car programs and vehicle program management. We'll discuss everything between day-to-day operations, spend optimization, and fair market benefits to ensure that you're using your vehicle program to its maximum potential. That's The Key. So in today's episode, we're going to dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly of managing old school vehicle programs. We'll talk about the pros and the cons of each type and when to know if they're right for you and your team. So a little bit about myself. I actually used to be a field sales representative. I started my career in beer sales. It was exciting. It was new. I spent my days driving from account to account every single day in my company car with my unlimited fuel card. I understand the pros and cons associated with that working lifestyle. That really led me to think about company car programs in a different light, asking myself how it served me as a driver, but also how it served the company that I worked for. And since that time, I joined CarData, the fully managed vehicle reimbursement partner for field service and field sales teams. My new perspective is that vehicle programs should be exciting. I know, seems jarring, but they should be exciting and they should be fair for both the employer and the driver. They need to be efficient for all parties involved. Now, I think the biggest misconception about vehicle programs is that car costs and company car programs are sunk costs. They're key to operations, meaning you have to spend that money, so you might as well just spend it in the traditional way, right? A company fleet, a flat taxable allowance, for example. Sure, they're key to everyday operations, but that's just the thing. They're key to everyday operations. So they shouldn't be a sunk cost. It should be something that people are thinking about strategically, whether you're in HR, whether you're in finance, whether you, work for a beer company, for example, or in medical device. Your teams are spending so much time on the road. That's why you need to think strategically about ways to keep your people happy and also ways to keep your costs low. Now, for me, for an example, I used to spend every single day visiting accounts, as I mentioned. Now, in the CPG space, particularly in the distributor or the alcohol distributor space, for example, they typically go to, maybe 8 accounts per day. The average is 7.4 actually for 2023. So 7.4 accounts per day, 7.4 business trips minimum per day. That's a lot. That's almost 1,850 accounts per year. So optimization for your business has to be key if you're in this line of work. So let's talk about how we define a outdated vehicle program. Typically what that means is they're programs that are not rooted in real use. So the biggest, most common examples are company cars paired with fuel cards and taxable allowances. And why are they seen as outdated? Well, again, they don't pair accountability and simple technology with the ability to take a fair market approach. Meaning most companies don't have any idea if their program is being used efficiently or appropriately by drivers, or if their program accurately and efficiently covers the costs and the needs of their drivers. So it's really a lose-lose situation. Drivers might feel unsupported by their company for not looking at their real needs, whereas the company might not understand its real use and you could be accidentally overpaying. So let's take the programs one by one. Let's start with company cars. Now, whether your company car is owned, it's leased, company cars get a mixed review depending on who the person is who's discussing their use. Now let's start with the pros. Drivers often love them. They're perceived as a benefit if they're well maintained. It allows companies to brand the vehicles, for example. Whether you believe this to be a benefit or a liability, of course, you have some control over how your cars are perceived on the road. From a driver perspective, I receive a car. It's a very expensive asset in which I can drive for personal use most of the time. Most companies don't require their employees to drop the cars off before the weekend. So I can pick up, kids from school. I can go to the beach on the weekends. I don't have to worry about, if I ever get in an accident, covering those costs or worrying about the damages that I might inflict. And this can become deeply ingrained in company culture. Now, fuel cards are often paired with company cars. Sometimes they can be used solo or with a taxable allowance, for example, but mostly with company cars. And this is also perceived as a benefit. Drivers get excited. Their gas is fully paid for. That's great. Maybe I pull up to fill up my car at 5 p.m. on a Friday, and maybe I do it again on Monday at 9 a.m. Of course, the use of these programs is often a little questionable. Now let's talk about the cons. First and foremost, company cars come with a significant risk of corporate liability. So I recently underwent a fleet transition in which, the company that came to us had a major accident. One of their employees totaled a vehicle. This actually resulted in a lot of PR challenges in which they had to make a switch from branded cars. This is often an indicator that it's kind of time to consider changing your approach. A second really common con is the rising cost to purchase and maintain vehicles. Of course, with inflation, everything is getting more expensive. But not to mention the impact of untracked fuel cards, for example. I know that nobody enjoys having to go to their employees and question, their refueling frequency. Historically, we've actually seen this overspending be typically around 20 to 25%. Now, as the supply chain recovers from 2020, vehicle procurement and sourcing limitations still really continue to be a problem for many organizations. I recently had a company come to me and say, Lee, we can't get cars. It's impossible to procure a mass quantity of vehicles at one time. We need to find another option. They knew that their people had personal cars, or most of them did, and they wanted to find a way to leverage them and pay these people fairly without reducing the net vehicle benefit of their program. It's possible. Now, of course, some additional cons include the lack of driver choice and time-consuming operations management for internal administrative team members. So whether you have an HR team member managing your program, or if you have a dedicated fleet manager, they're spending countless hours a week and countless days a year in the car business instead of running your business. Now, when we take this all together, fleets are on average 20 to 30% more expensive to manage than their equivalent reimbursement alternatives when using a personal vehicle approach. Well, why? Tax reduction, a reduction in personal use overpayment, and appropriate cost allocation. Now ask yourself, when is a company fleet right for you? Well, typically, company fleets are really great for organizations that have specialty vehicles that cannot be replaced by a personal car. For example, if you have a rigged truck or a company equipment or transport trucks, it's a perfect example of when a company fleet makes sense. Another example would be if you have a required brand on your vehicle, it makes sense. Now, when are fleets not right for you? Typically, it's when the fleet vehicle or the company-owned vehicle can be replaced by a personal car. If you're an organization that has high growth, growing very rapidly, hiring a lot of people, scaling through M&As, you might want to consider a more flexible approach that allows you to bring on people faster and to support higher turnover. And lastly, if you're looking to provide employee choice and fair market benefits while streamlining costs, you might want to consider a vehicle reimbursement approach. Now let's talk about taxable allowances. Whether you're paying your flat allowance on a monthly basis or at another cadence, for example, an annual payment, these programs come with some pros and a lot of cons. So let's start with the pros. These payments can be considered the simplest approach to reimbursement for a driver who's in a personal car. They get a payment from payroll, done, that's it. Very, very simple, very easy to administrate. They also allow drivers to maintain equity in a personal car. They're enabling that personal vehicle approach, which does reduce a lot of costs. They also are often tiered by seniority. They can be a bigger perk for higher positions or a small perk for some new entrants. Now, they also come with quite a bit of cons. These payments often do not effectively account for regional variations in living costs, for example, taxes, or other required expenses. Market value and competition is really the first consideration that I, really encourage our partners to look at. Allowance payments may not be up to standards in your industry, for example. they're often overlooked when strategically managing employee benefits and total rewards packages. Sure, I can Google what the average car allowance payment is per year and throw $600 at my employees. But is that what my peers are doing? Are they doing it tax-free? Do they have an accountability element? And of course, the cost of driving in New York isn't the same as the cost of driving in California. It's a problem. Now, a really common second con is the fact that there's no real use element being used to determine pay in a flat allowance. So without being paired with mileage capture technology or some form of mileage capture, there are risks of both under and overpayment for different mileage levels. There's no real use element. So this also brings us to the financial risk. Driver behavior and real cost requirements are not factored into the program. This, when combined with potential insurance gaps, if that's not being checked, is where organizations typically see some loss. We're not checking for effective coverage. There's blind spots all around. Because of this lack of use data, payments are subject to employment and income tax. Now, taxes on allowances take up over 30% of your intended driver take-home. Because the IRS views these payments as unsubstantiated and they view them as income. So here's an example. If you give your driver $600 a month, say around the average car allowance, of that, your driver's taxed. They're taxed on the state side, they're taxed federally, and they're also taxed for the employee portion of FICA, around 30%. This turns $600 into $420 in their pocket. Now, not only have they lost $180, but you as a company have essentially spent that $180, you sent it right to the IRS, in addition to your employer contributions for FICA, another $50 or so. So altogether, you're losing over $220 on every $600 payment. There are solutions that can take the tax off, use data for reimbursement, and give you access to business intelligence and market benchmarking tools to create a more cost-effective solution where you're not wasting money on taxes. How do you know that flat allowances are right for you? It's a good question. If you're looking for simple approaches where you just want to send money every month and call it a day, flat allowances work. Another point is the executive benefit, right? If you want to give your executives a car benefit, but you're not sure about tracking mileage, executives might benefit from a program like this. Now, the third pro, or when to know it's right for you, is when paired with a mileage capture method to reduce taxability. When are flat allowances not right for your company? Well, first and foremost, if you're looking to pay fairly. If you want to layer in an element of use and making sure that you really cover the cost for your employees, flat allowances might not be right for you. Second, if you're looking to save money on tax waste, flat allowances are the least tax efficient method. And lastly, if you're looking to stay competitive in your industry, you should be exploring market data and using partners in vehicle reimbursement to explore and see if you can build a program that makes more sense for your business. With all of this being said, the costs of inaction for your business are high. Regardless of what program you're using today, company car, taxable allowance, something else, the lack of use of modern technology and modern approaches to vehicle programs and vehicle program management may be failing you as a company, and consequently failing your drivers. You could be spending too much, they could be getting too little. So here are some key takeaways. Budgets and resources are tight. Think about strategic ways to streamline costs and cut costs. Can you give the same benefit to your drivers in a different format? That's a win-win for both you as a company, you in your role, and your drivers. In addition to that, the market is evolving, and so should you. It's important to decide with data. Use tech and experts to help you make decisions. Research tax-free vehicle reimbursement alternatives. Find a way to leverage company goals to streamline reimbursement. Deliver fair payments at a cost reduction. This has been The Key. We'll see you next time. Drive safe.